show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, my friends. It's Cliffo and Gabby. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast.
Yo.
Very exciting day today. Very big day. Mm. But to be honest, all roads are pointing to tomorrow.
All roads always lead to Friday.
That's true.
Because Friday's the best day of the week, but it's even better tomorrow.
Yeah, well, if all roads lead to regular Fridays, we got the highways, the byways, the triways. They're all leading to tomorrow. Because we've renamed tomorrow Orange Slice Friday.
My favourite Arnott's Cream Bicky. It's turning 100 this year to celebrate that, and to celebrate the Bicky itself. We're giving every single caller onto the show Bickies.
That's all coming up. You'll hear the whole setup for that in the podcast. Also, the lotto law, according to your way of life, like that whole, do you have to split a lotto win if it's present?
Yeah.
A lot of politics there.
Is there an expectation to get a kickback?
Plus, I got the shopping blues. Every time I go to the shops, I can't get what I need. I leave with a whole lot more. I think a lot of people will relate.
Very much so.
We'll see. It's coming up on the pod. You think that's huge, guys?
Yeah.
Wait.
We've got bigger.
Just whoa. Hold your horses. Because we got more in store for you.
We do. And it's all in regard to my favourite Bicky, the orange slice. So this has been a fairly long journey to get to the point we're at today. A few weeks ago, we did a poll on the favourite Arnott's Cream Bicky, mine being the orange slice. We had a wonderful...
And you have always owned up to that too. Unpopular opinion.
It
was very much overshadowed by the shortbread cream.
Yeah.
And the shortbread. What's the white one called?
Yeah, shortbread cream.
Shortbread cream.
And the Kingston.
And also the Monte Carlo.
And I don't mind that it's an unpopular choice though, because it means I don't have to fight to get them.
It's true.
Like they're pretty. They're there whenever you want them. Yeah. But then our lovely listener, Tammy, sent in a couple of packets of Bickies for us, one being a whole packet of orange slice Bickies. When I opened them, one of the Bickies was manufactured wrong, and one of the sides of the sandwich, because it's biscuit, cream, biscuit, one of the biscuits was turned inward. And so I wrote a very upset letter to Arnott's, who responded to my very upset letter to apologise. But yesterday, we actually got some fun facts about the orange slice Bicky on the show, because we called Arnott's to get more of an understanding of why the Bicky was manufactured wrong. And Tim had all the information about my fave Bicky.
Believe it or not, I had to do a little bit of research myself just to find out.
Yeah.
And it's actually 100 years this year, 1922,
wow.
100 years. So I've got one more for you just on the scale. The oven's 70 metres long that we make it in, and we make 3,000 biscuits a minute, and it runs for 24 hours once a month.
70-metre onion. 70-metre
oven.
That would be impressive.
That'd be weird.
A 70-metre onion would be very... 70-metre oven, 3,000 biscuits per minute.
How amazing is that?
It's huge.
That's a lot of Bickies. And in celebration of the orange slice and also the 100 years of the orange slice, we've been given 40 packets by Arnott's of the orange slice Bicky.
Yeah.
We can't eat them all, guys.
No, we can't.
So we have to announce tomorrow. It's going to be Orange Slice Friday!
Yeah. So we've taken it upon ourselves to rename tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's why Queensland's actually having 3 days off. There's going to be a delayed public holiday on Monday.
Yes.
But tomorrow is going to be Orange Slice Friday, where producer Hayley, everyone to the show will get how many packets?
Everyone will get 3 packets of orange slice biscuits.
So, Hayley,
we've sort of averaged out how many callers we get per show, and we reckon we can budget.
Mm.
That's why it's a weird number.
Yeah.
3 packs per caller.
You get a 3-pack if you make it onto the show. So every single caller on the show tomorrow gets 3 packs of orange slices. We know it's an unpopular Bicky. But it's still a Bicky, and it's still delicious. So,
I'll be honest, I'm coming around, man. Because we won't furphy here. We've opened a couple of packs of the 40.
They're quite delicious.
There's been a couple opened.
Yeah.
And I downed about 4 individual biscuits in one session yesterday.
Especially dipped in a cup of tea.
Beautiful.
They are perfections. Beautiful. Tomorrow, guys, be on the ball.
Orange Slice
Friday. If you call through and get on the show, you get yourself 3 packs of orange slices.
If you wake up in the morning and, you know, the alarm doesn't annoy you for the first time this weird short week, you got a bit of a smile on your face, you know, the birds are singing, the sun's shining,
the
and all that.
Out.
Rainbows, like, you're going to know why. because it's Orange Slice Friday tomorrow.
Wear orange and celebrate with us.
Wear orange. You're the slice. We fit together. Peas and carrots. It's the whole thing, guys. Orange Slice Friday tomorrow on Hit.
I would love to know what the law is around lotto gifts. So this all came about last week when I was talking to one of my girlfriends, Holly, and her partner had helped out a neighbour in their complex. She was an elderly neighbour and she needed help doing her grocery shopping. Mm. So they'd helped her a couple of times to get
on you, Holly.
Bits and pieces that she needed from the grocery shop.
Nice.
And the neighbour wanted to thank them. And so she left them this lovely gift. It was a card with a lotto ticket inside. Mm. But in the card, it very clearly stated the terms and conditions for a lotto ticket if they won.
So, oh, I love a gift with strings attached.
Right? Here's a gift. However, if you win, I expect something in return. Not only did she expect something in return, but she very clearly outlined what she would like if they were to win. So she said, "This, I've put this lotto ticket in all three of our names. If you are to win, if you win $5 million, I would like a three-bedroom house, $20,000 plus tax. If you win $10 million, I would like the same, but I would also like a housekeeper." If you, and like she went on
so
to stipulate every,
up,
as the money went up, she wanted
funny?
More. Nope. She was not.
Okay.
So, so they received this gift and they were like, it's not really a gift if you're expecting us to share it, is it?
Oh, it's still a, like, if you, mate, like, if you win 10 mil, 5 mil still a gift. And I say that because, you know, growing up, mum was a newsagent.
Mm.
So mum always did the lotto thing and all that. And I come from lineage that believes that it's a 50% rule.
No way. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, my mum always said it's 50%. So if there's a scratchy, and let's include scratchy in the term lotto here as well. It's all lotteries,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah.
But my mum always told me that, if you buy someone a lotto ticket, and they win, half of it comes back to you. And it's the same if I was to buy a lotto ticket for you, and you win, 50% of it comes back to me.
Is there a minimum? Like, is it above a certain amount? Because if you win $10, I'm not giving you five.
Oh, $500. I was going to say a grand.
Making it up now.
I was going to say a grand, but then I was like, nah, if I give you a ticket and you win 500, I want 250.
I don't believe there should be any sharing of winnings.
At all. No
expectation of sharing of winnings. If you give a lotto ticket, you're giving a gift and you back it up and you don't expect anything in return. You never expect return on a gift. If they want to give you something because you bought it for them, that's up to them. But there is no expectation of sharing the money.
So your mate Cliffy Boy, he buys you lotto.
Yeah.
For, I don't know. You're getting married soon. Wedding present.
Okay.
Not going to do that. I'm going to put in your wishing well. But cool. but say I got your lotto ticket, right?
Yeah.
You win a meal.
Yeah.
Is Cliffy going to get back?
Well, there should be no expectation that you get some. No. There's no agreement that you'll get some. No. I'll see how we go. See where we're at that point in time. But there is absolutely no rule.
I'm squeezing the orange, guys, but I'm not getting juice from it.
13, 10, 60. What is the lotto law? When you're giving a gift of lotto or scratchies, what is the law? If they win money, are they expected to kick some back to you for buying the ticket? Yeah.
What's your individual lotto law?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mine is no expectation. You give a gift, there is nothing coming back.
I don't think there is actually a lotto law chiseled in stone somewhere. There should be.
We need to do it. Where's the tablet and the
Hayley, bring
kick.
In the chisels.
The chisel.
13, 10, 60. What's the lotto law? Because honest to God, I was brought up in a house where it was a 50% rule.
You'd be very disappointed.
Whatever you win.
You gave me one.
You'll be very disappointed when you never get a present from me ever again. 13, 10, 60. What's the lotto law on here? Aaron, what's your own personal lotto law, mate?
Well, it's not according to me. It's according to my grandmother. So my grandmother always said, if you win on the lotto, if I give you a ticket, you win, you have to give it back to me. Half of it comes back to me.
50%.
And she used to have the same rule when she used to take us to bingo every Friday night. No matter what we won, we had to give her half.
Hold on. Okay, so last time I saw bingo being played at a club, the prizes were caramel chocolate bars. So she would she would make you snap the caramel in half.
No matter what it was.
Oh my, she is ruthless. 50% is a high percentage of expectation.
It is. Especially, for your own grandchildren, and mind you, I'm 40, so this was probably 30 years ago, and yeah, it was very, very high expectations of $5, $10, it was half of
I'm with you, Erin. Sometimes the old ways are the best.
No way!
Katie's here. Katie, what's your individual personal lotto law?
It's a gift, it's a gift.
So no expectation of anything coming back?
No, nothing at all coming back.
So if you were to gift someone a lotto ticket and they won $5 million and gave nothing back to you,
yes,
would you still be friends with them?
Good point.
Yeah, I would.
Nah, you
You're
wouldn't.
A good person, Katie. Nah. Like, I wouldn't expect anything in return if I were to gift it. However,
Gabby,
I would accept it.
If I won $5 million and didn't give you a cent, you would seethe.
I'd be mad.
You would hate me.
But there's no expectation.
Craig's here. Craig, what's the lotto law?
It was always 50%.
50%?
You're another 50%er?
That's too high.
You think it's too much?
What?
Okay. Nah.
I know, Gabby. So no expectation here, but what is the percentage then? Clearly you're uncomfortable with 50.
I'm very uncomfortable with 50.
But if you're, you know, gun to your head, you got to give a percentage.
Maybe 10%.
Oh, that's so cheap.
10%.
Fabian, what's your lotto law?
Yeah, mate, my lotto law is you wouldn't actually win it without them purchasing the ticket for you, so it's only out of generosity that you give some money back.
I agree with you here, Fabian. You would give money back because you're a generous person. However, should the expectation be there that if they're giving you the ticket, they expect some back?
Yes.
No, not at all.
That's it.
Just imagine if you wouldn't win if they didn't buy you the ticket anyway.
Well. Yeah. Guys,
if you're
you know
a kind person, you're going
to
do it.
You're more likely to get struck by lightning 12 times than win lotto. So what are we even arguing for? Right now, I want to talk about the frustration that I think I feel and I think many people feel when you are going to the shops to get milk and bread. Mm. And I will often go to the shops and I will deliberately not get a trolley or a basket or any kind of carrying stuff, object or whatever, because I'm like, I just need milk and bread.
You're only getting two things.
And next minute, I'm like, I don't know, like I've been on a game show where you get to do a supermarket run or something because my hands are just full.
Trying to balance all the berries and
trying to balance everything.
Yeah.
It's got me before too. I'll only take one plastic bag into the shop. And then I have to end up buying two extra 15 cent ones because I buy heaps more than I thought. Mm. And I always thought it was like you said just before, that's the shop's fault. Like they gear us to buy a lot more.
They put things in eyesight so that you feel tempted to buy them.
Yeah. Well, eye level is buy level.
Yeah.
I remember that from when I worked at Bilo. High level is Bilo, baby.
Most expensive at high level.
That's right. I've discovered that maybe it's not just the shops. Maybe it's us as consumers as well too, because I went to the butcher shop yesterday for two chicken Kievs. That's all I needed was two chicken Kievs. Michelle goes, I want chicken Kiev for dinner. We love the chicken Kievs at the local butcher shop. And I went, easy. I'll just call in after I did the school. Pick up two chicken Kievs. Job's good.
Dunskies.
I dropped $70.
On chicken Kiev.
$60 something. Closer to $70. So they weren't very expensive chicken Kievs. The thing is, you get to the butcher shop and they've got all the meat and it's laid out beautifully and it's got parsley on it. And I go, well, I'm not just eating tonight.
What a selling point.
That's
the
right.
Parsley. It gets you.
Look how green that is. Wow. But I'm like, I'm not just eating tonight, like I'm eating for the next few nights. I'll get lots of stuff. So keep in mind, this is the guy who went to the butcher's for two chicken Kievs and ended up leaving with, and I listed it all out deliberately just to sort of execute my point. Went to the butcher shop for two chicken Kievs, left with two chicken Kievs, a dozen barbecue snacks, a kilo of chicken wings, 500 grams of beef mince, because you throw that in the freezer. Never know when you're going to need beef mince. Three crumb steaks, two lamb cutlets, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Get ready for some tea, guys, because our favourite maths contenders from this year's season are back on Instagram. It looks like they have control of their accounts again, which means they're going to be spilling the tea, no doubt.
I've just gotten over them.
Have you?
Like, I've just gotten over the excitement that was.
And they're drawing us back in.
Sight, and it's like the mafia. You think you're out, pull you back in.
Well, they've only had their Instagrams back for a number of days. Right. I haven't seen any blue ticks happening on majority of their pages. Yeah. So maybe they're still being held hostage.
Don't worry.
By
they've written
network.
Instagram. Yeah. They've written. They're chasing them.
No, but they're told they will get the blue tick if they follow the rules of their contract. So I think the blue tick is being held hostage at this stage.
Okay.
So they don't spill too much tea. Like, they still follow the rules until they're out of contract, which was in like a year or so, isn't it? Anyway.
I think so.
Yeah, and it's normally a while.
The show gets syndicated. Like, it rates well in countries like the UK, and it gets syndicated for the next few months, I'd say, around the world. So.
Yeah, so they don't want any spillage yet. However, some interesting things have come about on their Instagram pages. Olivia stars Jackson in her stories quite a bit, which means they're definitely still together. The volatile relationship that was Olivia.
If you're not a maths person, she was the real villain.
She was definitely the
villain. She's one of the most hated people in the country.
And Jackson stood by her, which is interesting. But she did put up a post saying, "Cheers to getting better and not staying bitter." Daniel and Carolina, they were the cheating scandal of the season. And Carolina, you might remember if you watched that she hated the husband she was set up with, Dion, because he didn't go to the gym.
That's right.
He never went to the gym. And that was a real bugbear of hers. Well, Daniel and Carolina have posted a photo in the gym.
At the gym.
So Carolina's happy.
Hey, they're on brand. They're on brand, if nothing else.
Tamara, who was the secondary villain of the show, put up a post saying, "Never take advice from someone whose life you wouldn't want to live."
Okay.
And she doesn't want to live with in anyone's life who doesn't have a nice car. So she's not taking advice from a lot of people.
Like her, Olivia, they're really getting these stock standard motivational tiles from Facebook in the early noughties and just repurposing them, aren't they?
Let's talk the fun stuff, though, because some friendships have really been formed on the MAFS season, and they've taken these friendships into real life, which is really nice. The most favourite of mine being Brent and Al.
Hey, guys. It's been a minute since we've been here.
The boys!
So Brent and Al have actually created a page together, a joint page. And
oh, Jesus Christ. They're going to get a radio show on Hit soon or a podcast deal.
They've currently only uploaded two videos, but the two videos are worth a look. The first is Al making an omelette in a very Al way. He's making the omelette. He's mixing the eggs in a shoe because Al was known as doing shoeies.
The shoey guy.
I'm going to cook my godfather Brent some breakfast, but I'm going to do it with a little twist. I'm doing it. The Al way.
This is the same kid who did like the worm. It's a dance on his wedding dance.
But Brent got him back because the second video is him deciding to wax Al's armpit, very 40-year-old virgin style.
You know what it says to me? Like, if you lack creativity and you don't have any talent, just do jackass stuff. Gabby's bum, notoriously
unhappy.
Hard to please, it would seem.
Very unhappy. Especially last week, I was staying at my mum's house, and it was also Easter, which means I was eating a lot of chocolate, and my lactose intolerance meant that there were many a bathroom visit. And it got to the point where my bouton was like, hold up, I will only use one kind of toilet paper. I am a toilet paper snob, and it doesn't have to be the most expensive toilet paper.
Yeah.
It just has to be this one particular brand that I feel is the kindest on my tush. And
so
it is
go on.
Kleenex.
Okay. We're going to charge him for that, are we?
I'm going to send my invoice. No, it was the one with the little dog on it.
What are we talking here? Is like you ate too much chocolate.
Yep.
So you just too many visits.
Too many visits
to the washroom, right?
Yes.
So you had a bit of the sandpaper thing.
A bit of the sandpaper thing going on.
Do you remember that actually? Wasn't that an ad on TV
where people use? Yeah, that made me cringe.
The tissues would pull out or whatever, and then it would turn into sandpaper after a while.
Made me cringe. That was the worst. But yeah, that's what it was starting to feel like. And my mum is I think it was Quilton lover. Loves quilts and toilet paper. And I went to her and I was like, this is just not on. Like, what are you doing? You are not treating your bottom with the respect it deserves. And we got into a bit of an argument about our favourite toilet paper. And I ended up going to the supermarket and buying my own loo paper to take in with me like I was at school camp.
So hold on.
To the bathroom.
Hold on. Were you taking a roll in with you and then when you finished, you were taking it out? Back to the... Where the spare room or whatever you were saying. Yeah,
my nana's room had just a packet of toilet paper sitting there ready for me to take a roll in and back out with me.
I was
on school camp.
You would hate, you would hate doing a number two at my place.
Really?
Because at my place, we walk Woolworths brands.
No.
The jet.
No.
It's with the fancy Woolworths one. Like,
it's not the one ply.
Yeah, you know how they'll have the individually wrapped in paper, just a single roll of toilet paper, and that stuff is like sandpaper on your ass. Mm. We buy like the 10-pack of Woolworths softies, or I don't know. They make it look like the Kleenex or the Quilton or the sorbent, or
they do,
but it's just Woolworths.
Yeah, it's like called Vivel or something, or I don't know.
You just looked it up.
I did. I'm on the Woolworths website at the moment because I was checking prices to see where I was at on my snobbery.
And
I'm about mid-range.
Mid-range, okay.
I'm about mid-range. But it's not about the price. It's about the particular brand. Like, my butt will only accept one brand. I'm a snob for that brand and that brand only. And I cannot go outside of that. I can't. I can't venture. When there was, the whole toilet paper shortage, I was in a world of hurt.
My butt's a homemade. My butt will rub up against anything, any brand. Doesn't matter.
You're not a snob?
Nah,
you'll take it all.
My butt is anyone's.
30, 10, 60. Is anyone else out there a toilet paper snob? Like, do you have one brand and one brand only that you can use when it comes to toilet paper? And you will not go off brand.
Or even better yet, do you know a toilet paper snob?
Does someone annoy you
because,
like I do?
Yeah.
They come to your house with a roll of loo paper ready to go.
There'd be people listening right now who are probably blokes. And I'm going to say a bloke because, you know, you're a woman telling the story. But I'm imagining Nev, like at the supermarket or whatever, just looking at the sorbet and going, oh, God, it's half the price.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Surely she won't know.
He's done that. Surely. And it stayed in the back of the cupboard for about a year because I refused to
use
it.
Only came out during the great toilet paper shortage of COVID times.
That's it. 30, 10, 60. Is anyone else a toilet paper snob? Is it you or someone you know that is a stickler for the toilet paper brand? Like, they will not use anything
You've got to use your fancy toilet
paper. You've got to use it.
13, 10, 60. Embrace it if you are a toilet paper snob or dob in a toilet paper snob. 13, 10, 60 on here. So, Hayley, so you've whacked this up on Instagram as well.
I put a poll on our Instagram. It's called the Toilet Paper Poll. And I've got an update. Quilton is actually winning on 72%. And Kleenex has 22% of the votes.
I'm horrified.
All right.
These Quilton-using people, what's going on?
You're missing a few percent there. Sorbent 6%. Oh, you've just typed it through. Okay, cool. So sorbent's
and home brand has zero.
Right. Well, it has one.
All right, mathematician over here.
I haven't voted yet. 13, 10, 60 is the phone number. Going to go to Tammy on the phones. Tammy, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for ringing us. Are you, or no, nah, really, is your derriere, is you behind a toilet paper snob?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So is it the expense? You'll only go for the most expensive brand, or is it just one particular brand that you can't go away from?
It's Quilton. I'm a Quilton girl, and that's it. I hate Kleenex.
Quilton is the most expensive, isn't it?
It depends. Yeah, you can get them both on special, so.
What's wrong with Kleenex, though? Yeah. Kleenex had the pug dogs back in the day rolling about in the toilet paper. That was cute.
Yeah, I think it just breaks too easy. I don't like it.
Okay.
See, I don't like Quilton because I think it smears.
I'm just picturing both of you lowering your asses to the porcelain and a theme like this plays. Like. It's time.
Get me a throne.
To poop. Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Friday morning after 8 a.m. It's worth $1,000. The clue.
Oh,
mate.
The answer.
Come
I just
on,
had
mate.
A mad blank.
We do it every
I know.
Day.
And I'm like, where are you, we at? And we just spoke about
there
it.
Like a freaking toad. Just looking at me like, what are we doing?
We just spoke about it and it just escaped me straight away.
You know, it's just
Sandra Bullock.
I got it. Sandra Bullock. All right.
That's the answer you
take
want.
A load off. Sandra Bullock is your free answer for Alpha Bucks tomorrow morning on here. The Hit Breakfast Show.